all night and wrote. And it was originally 5 verses long, and it got pared down judiciously. Jack Nitzsche, it was who produced this song. It was his idea to shorten it a little bit, and I sucked up my ego and cut out the 3 of the verses and released it that way. But I guess maybe what you're asking is, you know, what the song is about. I'm not even sure exactly, but I think it feels to me, and again, my guess is as good as anybody else's guess is as good as mine, that it's about the chase, the fact that you're going after something can be as exhilarating as getting it.
Right. Yes, I can see that, and I think most people will relate to maybe our relationships throughout our early years, and even into the relationship that maybe has stabilized our life. So yes, I think I can certainly relate to a butterfly, and you know, sort of knowing that obviously you've got life ahead of you, and yeah, lots of things. I'd like to also just explain, I have a number of songwriters who I've got to know very well over the last couple of years. For example, I don't know if you might remember Tony Hiller, who wrote for the Brotherhood of Man. And Barry Mason, who wrote Delilah, he wrote Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes, I Pretend for Des O'Connor's Careless Hand. So what I've tried to sort of get right in my mind is, are the songwriters any different to the normal people? Because you sometimes get people like yourself who have become prolific. You might have only had one song that we know as a big hit, but I mean, you've got all sorts of songs on the CDs you've sent me, which are very, very interesting. So do you spend your days thinking and dreaming of songs? How does it come to you?
Well, they sort of come, the process is sort of involuntary. I would hope that I would have to have some normality about me, otherwise no one could relate to my songs. In other words, yes, maybe I do have a little built-in mechanism that when somebody will say something, I was at a lunch one time, and there was a whole lot of people, and one woman was talking to her father and sort of teasing him, and she was talking about an event, something that happened, and she started to comment on it, and clearly he didn't recall the event very well. And she said, "Oh, please, don't pretend you remember." And I said, "That's a song title." And then I wrote a song that had nothing to do with the actual conversation. But yes, I think there's most songwriters that I know, who I know, do have some kind of I don't know, little mechanism built in that just sort of kicks in involuntarily, and then you just follow it.
I'm sorry that I've not heard this yet, but there is a song apparently by Pulp, a British band, which is named after you. Are you aware of that?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Oh, sure. Jarvis Cocker was at my recent gig in London. He came to the Luminaire to hear me. Richard Hawley was there, and Romeo Stoddard from the Magic Numbers, and Sean O'Hagan from the High Llamas. Very, very, you know, informal and down to earth people on that British, you know, pop scene. They're very, very warm, unstar-like, you know.
So I suppose really it's got to be an accolade when people of the similar business will come to you to listen to your songs. I think that's really quite a compliment, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It makes me feel wonderful to see, and not only, but you know, movers and shakers of a whole different generation from mine. It's so touching. And yes, and absolutely, you know, especially quality guys, and Richard Hawley. I mean, I just think he's great. Mm. And you know, the High Llamas, I love what they do.
And of course, the other thing that I'm reading is that you've had over 200 artists, and I'm going to include some of the names.
Okay.
Cher, Glen Campbell, Aretha Franklin, Dolly Parton, Eric Clapton, Nancy Sinatra, The Four Tops, Richie Havens, Hoyt Axton, Petula Clark. This is a very impressive list of people who have covered your songs.
Yeah, I like the sound of it, man. Read it again. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It makes me feel great.